Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Horford, 2-for-2, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
The best team in the NBA. Start to finish, the Milwaukee Bucks got clubbed in the face in Game 1. Lost the home court advantage they worked all year for. Tonight, they come to Boston, a site of their nightmare last year in their 4 playoff losses, and they wrestle it back away. The final score in Game 3, Milwaukee 123, Boston 116. Bucks lead the series 2-1.
Credit the Bucks. They did a lot of good things. We'll go back and look at how we can improve off that. I mean, every minute of every game against these guys is really hard. This is a heck of a team, and I thought... In those moments, again, their physicality to the rim kind of separated the game. And then on the other end, again, I just thought we got a little deep in some of our drives.
Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, 617-779-0985. Got Sean Silver alongside as well. That's Celtics head coach Brad Stevens after last night's 123-116 loss at home to the Milwaukee Bucks. And shame on me for buying in, just like Paul Pierce after Game 1 last Monday, sat in Felgren, Mass. Mike and I agreed, but with Paul, it's over. It's over. The Bucks were overrated. It's Giannis and a bunch of spare parts. Okay, Chris Middleton's a good player, but the rest of them? Ech. Nick Mirotic, Ersan Ilyasova, the kid from that went to Notre Dame, the local boy whose name I keep forgetting.
Pat Connaughton.
Pat Connaughton, thank you very much. Ech. Brook Lopez, ugh. It's a bunch of spare parts, and Giannis is the deserving MVP. But, hey, they now know how to defend him. Look at that. They blow him out on their home floor in Game 1. Game 2, that happens in the NBA. Last night, though, they turned back into a pumpkin and became what they were for most of the season. Kind of gutless. And that's going to be concerning, because now you're going to look at it and say, well, can they take the next 3 out of 4? I don't know.
Even if they went on Monday, right? So, and I think they will, by the way. But, you know, now it's still a daunting challenge in front of you, because basically the series at that point becomes best of three. And if it ends up being all three, two of those three are in Milwaukee.
Yeah, which I don't like. The other thing, looking at last night's, like, because there's a lot of disappointment in terms of, you know, specific players. Gordon Hayward probably being, you know, the 1A. You and I have kind of been back and forth a little bit about Kyrie Irving. I thought it was a disappointing night for him.
Sure.
But I guess better than Game 2. Terry Rozier. That's a guy I look at who was so good at home in this series last year. Granted, it's a different team. I get it. But still, Bucks series last year at home, Terry Rozier was dominant. Last night, he was awful. Awful.
Yeah. And again, I'm not making excuses for him, though, but why would that be any different than the role he's been in all year? He's not an off-the-bench guy. We know this. Like, the role, even last year, like,
I don't think there's some level of comfort still playing at home, though.
But the only time last year that he really popped to me was when Kyrie was hurt. And I don't mean just the playoffs. You know, when Kyrie missed games during the regular season and he got to start, when Kyrie had the knee issue, the issue with the hardware right before the playoffs, like, Rozier does his best work when he can start, at least with Kyrie on the team. And when he can't start and when he doesn't know how many minutes he's going to play or how many shots he's going to get, I wouldn't expect much from him.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, the other big major red flag from last night is that George Hill goes off. And that was one of the things that was kind of the unfortunate calling cards of this Celtics team throughout the season, is making bums look like all-stars. And George Hill, like, that was a reminder of Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. It's like, Jeff Green? Who was it on the Knicks, too, that game before Thanksgiving, too, the guard that went off? This year, either way, I forget. I cannot remember his name because he's a hack. But they had done this time and again throughout the season. And so last night it's George Hill. Other than that, like, I felt like they kind of played the Bucks pretty evenly outside of his performance. But that is one of those things that you look at and like, oh, God, that's one of these things I've seen with this team throughout the year.
Look, I think the Celtics went into the series knowing Giannis was going to get his points. I think part of the game plan was, okay, don't let other guys go off and be effective. And when I look at the box score at the end of the game, I see, you know, 21 points for George Hill. I see 14 for Pat Connaughton. I see 13 for Nikola Mirotic. And I put Middleton's an all-star, right? So he's going to get his. So Giannis will do his thing. Middleton always plays well against the Celtics. He's going to get his. And now it's like, okay, contain the other guys. You know, let Eric Bledsoe vomit all over himself, which he did last night. And you could have won with him doing that if you didn't let George Hill and Pat Connaughton and other guys impact the game the way that you did. And, you know, for the Celtics, I think part of it is trusting in one another offensively and defensively and trying to win on the strength of your team, not the strength of your individual talent, which that's been an issue for them all year long. How do the pieces of the puzzle fit together? Do they fit together?
It was Trey Burke who's what I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Trey Burke, but I was like, I was going to say Trey Burke or Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah. All right, let's hear from you. A lot of bitching to be had with last night's loss, 617-779-0985. Alex in Brookline, you're up here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. I'm just wondering what you guys see this team looking like next year. I mean, Kyrie seems to be kind of like moaning out there. The ball is bouncing around. He's complaining out on the court. I think things are kind of going back to Kyrie complaining about the guys now, maybe in the clubhouse, but I'm wondering what this team's going to look like. And I think Tatum's stock has gone significantly down. And I think if you want to get Anthony Davis here, it's going to take both Brown and Tatum now that Brown is on the up stock. So I'm wondering what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can make that deal. I don't think you can trade both Brown and Tatum for Anthony Davis if you're not sure about Kyrie staying and you don't have any long-term commitment from Anthony Davis. I do think one of the things, Jim, that, you know, I've said it consistently, we've talked about it a lot on the show, on the station, is that this playoff run is important for the Celtics beyond trying to take advantage of this season and live up to their preseason billing. I think right now they're playing to keep Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, no wonder why poor Danny Ainge is stressed out of his mind and dealing with another heart issue. We wish him well.
Get well soon, Danny.
You know, and I mean that somewhat facetiously because he's okay and he's home, but boy, like, I can understand why the man is stressed out of his mind. Like, okay, here's the franchise player. We're falling all over each other trying to keep him here. A lot of it depends, and I agree. A lot, and I think they know that. A lot of it depends on their postseason success, which doesn't feel great as of this morning. Bob and JP, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hello.
Yeah, Murray, are you concerned now? Yesterday you were concerned about Milwaukee. Are you concerned a little bit now?
Yeah, sure am, Bob. I feel like I get egg all over my face today.
Of course you do, because you guys just blithely say that the Celtics have all this talent. Show me the talent that they have. How do we know these guys are that talented? I have no idea. Tatum's a third-year player. Second-year player. Brown's a third-year player. They haven't proven anything. Oh, big deal. They got to the conference finals that year against a weakened Eastern Conference. And now with no LeBron, they can't do anything. Secondly, Gasper, You keep saying that they're going to win the next game. I think they're going to get swept 4-3. Last night's game wasn't even close. It was a blowout. And Giannis shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence as Kyrie Irving because he's not even close. Kyrie Irving, when is he never won without LeBron, and he had two number one picks, Wiggins and the other guy, that terrible draft pick.
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. So they were awful. They got number one picks because he couldn't do anything by himself. Well, you got LeBron. Yeah, granted, they went to the because of LeBron. Had nothing to do with him. He was an add-on piece.
I wouldn't say nothing, but you're right in that LeBron was the front man, and this is the first time he's been the front man of a championship team, and it's a different challenge, and it has not gone well this year. That is correct.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of talk of how it was going to be okay. So this is where it's, I think, reflected poorly on Kyrie in these last couple of games, and especially in game two. Like, we're going to be okay. The seeding won't matter. It's because I'm here. I'm the basketball genius. His quote from the Jackie McMullen post on ESPN yesterday, I'm sorry, he hasn't shown it these last couple of games.
No, we have not really gotten playoff Kyrie. They didn't need playoff Kyrie against the wounded Pacers. They need playoff Kyrie now, no question about it.
What have you made of this, Sean Silver, resident hoop head, wearing your Celtics basketball long sleeve T-shirt this morning? Still feeling positive about the team?
Oh, I don't know about that. It was really the first clean shirt that I had in the drawer, Jim. But okay. It's been tough. Not to honk my horn, but I did do kind of like a five keys to the series thing on 98.5thesportshub.com.
Plug away.
The series. I don't think necessarily that they can take care of all five of these things every night. I mean, that would be a Herculean task, but rebounding, getting to the free throw line, closing out on threes for the other team, controlling Middleton, I think, is the number two, because Giannis can go off. But, you know, as you guys have been saying throughout the show today, if you can shut off that supporting cast, George Hill doesn't go off for 21, then you're in much better shape. I forget what the fifth thing was, but anyways, last night they didn't do really any of those things, and it's just, the free throw thing was bizarre. I don't think that a force of nature who's 7'1" and can get from half court, to a dunk in the lane in two steps like Giannis Antetokounmpo needs, to get wilting lily fouls from the officials like he did. But again, it wasn't all on the referees. You know, as you guys have mentioned, this is really about adjustments that the Celtics have been unable to make. So if Milwaukee does get hot in some respect, or Budenholzer, who I think his offense is very gimmicky, but still, he's been able to make adjustments that Brad and the C's have not been able to make so far. And that's the reason that they're down 2-1 more than anything in the series. And also Gordon Hayward last night with that no-show.
All right, we'll get your thoughts as well. 617-779-0985. Again, like coming in today, as we open up talking about this, because I think it's, we couldn't hold this off till just the Celtics show here. Is this the same team that we've seen all season? Is your confidence now shook as a Celtics fan? Or are the Celtics still talented enough to hold serve at home and actually make this a series and go on to the Eastern Conference Finals and maybe the Finals? Because after game one, I was like, I'll pencil them in. Paul Pierce is right. It's over. Womp womp. We were wrong. 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics show back after this.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the Seas. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris Casper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just like our activity. I like the way we're scrambling and covering for each other. I think we're playing similarly offensively. We're playing with a lot of force, guys attacking, guys sharing the ball. I just think, game one, give credit to Boston. They were really good. They did a lot of things to put us, where we knew we had to be better. And we're going to have to be better again in game four. I think the activity of the group's just been the difference.
So that's Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer after last night's demoralizing loss to the Celtics. Really, I don't think there's any other way to put it. 123-116. Bucks now lead the series 2-1. It's a Sports Hub Celtics show with Jim Murray and Chris Casper, and you at 617-779-0985. Really had to do with the bench, too. I mean, that's the standout thing, or at least statistically what stands out for the Bucks last night. It's not just the fact that Giannis got to the line 22 times, but 42 points for the Bucks bench, 16 for the Celtics. That's bad. That right there is really where the game, to me, is won by the Bucks and lost by the Celtics. But your thoughts on last night's game, 617-779-0985. I know a lot of you want to bitch about the officiating, too, which I understand. But how about Gordon Hayward? An awful night for him. Ian and Newton, you're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just one quick thought on the officiating, though. I think that they've been absolutely brutal this entire series, especially with Giannis. The superstar treatment gets annoying and almost makes the game foul. On Jaylen Brown too last night that they called near the Bucks sideline.
Oh yeah, and really, yeah, and Budenholzer straight up calling for it. Yeah,
it was just absolutely laughable. The reaction to that on Twitter was really funny. If you guys have a chance to see that, but on Gordon Hayward, I think that he really needs to get the offense flowing through him this series to if they want a chance to win. I don't know if that's on Brad Stevens or his teammates not getting him involved, or if it's on Gordon Hayward himself, but. When Gordon Hayward plays well, the Celtics win, and we saw that throughout the regular season. But if they don't get Hayward going, I don't think they have a shot in the series.
Well, and Ian, thanks for the call. But the thing is, Chris, when he's lacking confidence, which is obvious, he is last night, do you want the offense running through him? Is that the fix?
I think he needs to touch the ball. He can facilitate, but I think they tried to do that. And so one of the things he does really well, I think, is read the defense off the pick and roll. But he was having a hard time getting by anybody last night for whatever reason. Maybe the ankle was bothering him. And then, when he couldn't get by Brook Lopez and then he went to the rim and, got his stuff swatted, packed back in his face, it seemed like that really daunted him. Like he was kind of like, And I've said this all year, and I could be wrong. I'm not a basketball coach, and you know, Brad Stevens knows Gordon Hayward a heck of a lot better than I do. The stuff he does really well in the pick and roll, I appreciate, and it does help the Celtics. But you know what they need from him? They need him to knock down outside shots. Like, he should be able to do that and do more of that. And I think it would help him because it would open up driving lanes for him. Guys would come out and close on him faster. And like, don't you find it peculiar?
Well, you said throughout the season that he should have, like, the Kevin Love role.
Yeah, it's sort of a Kevin Love, Ray Allen, like, cut off the ball, you know, and knock down threes. I think he needs to do more of that. But don't you find it peculiar that if you watch these games, guys don't close hard on Gordon Hayward. They're like, he's going to take this three. Yeah, if he makes it, okay. Like, they're not out there closing hard on him. Like, they close harder on Al Horford than they do on Hayward at the three-point line. And that's kind of weird to me. And he needs to make teams pay. Knock down that three. It will open up driving lanes, and that will help the Celtics.
Greg in Peabody, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm just calling because I feel like last year they played a little more harder when they got down, and this year they just not, like, playing hard. When they get down, they kind of stop putting the effort forth. Like, the third quarter was awful. And then when, like, George Hill comes down the lane and just dunks on everybody, it's just, like, really frustrating. And also with Gordon Hayward, I think, you know, some nights I feel like he has the explosiveness, and some nights he doesn't. So I don't know, maybe it's, like, a physical thing with him sometimes, and sometimes he has that explosiveness. And that's all.
Greg, I think it's a mental thing at this point in the season. Because we've seen flashes from Hayward before, and he's back. And I mean, Hayward's back. It's a mental thing more than anything else. Like, his confidence was shaken last night. I think that was pretty obvious.
Yeah, well, when you're used to doing certain things, or, you know, maybe to the caller's point, one night you feel like you can elevate to a certain level in terms of, jump. You can jump a certain way, and the next night you're like, oh, I'm not getting as high. I'm not as explosive. I'm not whatever, you know.
And I was just reminded. So I think it was in the first couple of minutes of the game. He went down hard, and I wonder if that's – do you remember? He, like, was under the
– I don't remember that.
He went down pretty hard under the hoop and got up, looked fine, but I wonder if that's one of those things that kind of, like, mentally shakes him up because, you know, it's almost like this PTSD thing.
I mean, it does seem like mentally, if he starts well, he's going to be good. If he starts slow, it's hard for him to dig out.
We'll go to Gary in Rhode Island. Your thoughts on last night's loss. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Nobody's really talked about this. I think we're really missing Marcus Smart the last two games. To feed off each other in the backcourt with defense and everything, it brought both of their games back. And that's what I'm seeing. I don't know about you guys. I die Celtics. Trust me. And Marcus Smart would have got some calls, and they wouldn't have been driving the lane as much. Well, I just want your input.
Yeah, Gary.
They miss him.
Yeah, in terms of perimeter defense, definitely. Yeah. It's why you see Middleton go off. It's why a guy like Pat Connaughton goes off the bench last night. Like, yeah, they're missing Smart. And supposedly he's going to take contact to practice tomorrow, and maybe he'll be back.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he came back for game four.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, too, you're now going to worry, is Malcolm Brogdon going to be back?
Well, that was the point I was going to make. Like, they certainly miss Smart, but if you're a Celtics fan and you're saying, well, the reason we're down is we're without Smart, then, I mean, I look at the Smart-Brogdon thing. I feel like it's a wash, honestly. It's probably more painful for the Bucks because Brogdon is a scorer that they really need. So you can't look at it and be like, well, you know, if we had Marcus Smart, well, what if they had Malcolm Brogdon, who's a Celtic killer?
An average 15 a game. He's the best free throw shooter in the league this year.
Yeah, he was a 50-40-90 guy, 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line. So,
John in Charlestown, what do you think about the Celtics defense or lack thereof?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Before I make my point, I just want to say, Gasper, Murray, I'm a huge fan, and you bring a certain class to We Can't Talk. This is usually lacking. So I really love the show.
Thank you. That's Chris. Believe me, that's Chris, not me.
I really mean that. So I really mean that.
We appreciate
anyway,
that. Thank Celtics, you very much.
Celtics, 2 points, okay? Defense and attitude. Defense, the difference between this team and last year's is Hayward and Kyrie. And I know they're both dynamic, beautiful players, but they're not defenders. Kyrie absolutely blows on the defensive end, and Hayward's average at best. Okay, and so all of these other things that people have been pointing to, which are absolutely correct, gutless, this, that, it all goes down to defense and that attitude. And it's just, it's not there. And so if your score is over 100, the more the score goes over 100, the less likely the Celtics are to win. especially the Brad Stevens team, okay? And attitude, I don't care. And I've come around on this with Kyrie Irving. His attitude is gutless. He's not a fighter. I know he's amazing. He's like poetry when he's flowing. I know the game. He's like poetry. But he's not a grind it out. He doesn't have that. He folds and he goes back, which is why he's always going to need a guy like a LeBron or a tough guy or Horford, somebody like some veteran that's willing to gut it out, because Kyrie folds and goes and pouts in the corner. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks, John. There's been an attitude, an unfortunate attitude, I think, that has surrounded this team throughout the season. And defensively, I think you see their defense go sideways when their shots don't drop, specifically with certain players like Kyrie Irving and like Jason Tatum.
Tatum, to me, is the biggest culprit.
Yeah.
He loses defensive focus if offensively it's not happening for him.
617-779-0985. Got full phone lines on this because there's a lot to unpack with this game. And we'll get to the officiating coming up next, too, because I know a lot of you want to complain about that. And I don't think that was the reason they lost last night, but I can understand your point if you think that it is. So we'll get to that. And as soon as someone drops off, we'll get you on it. 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics Show with Jim Murray and Chris Gasper are going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines and then right to you. You're on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time to Kyrie. Uh-oh.
Rhymes around. Kyrie gets to the rim, scored, and the foul. And that's going to do it here in Game 3.
Whoa.
I mean, it's inevitable. Guy comes down almost six times in a row, gets free throws. You know, what are you really going to do? It's slowing the game down. So the run that you would hope to make in a quarter like that doesn't happen. I mean, shot 22 on the game. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know, it's just slowing the game down.
Sports Up Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Up. Kyrie Irving not happy with the officiating. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks getting the charity strike 22 times. Definitely does slow the game down. That thing was a terminal by the end of it. Oh, my God. But is he right to complain? Is this the reason the Celtics lost to the Milwaukee Bucks last night? They're now trailing in the series 2-1. For further insight into last night's loss, let's bring in Brian Robb, who covers the Celtics for the Boston Sports Journal. He's joined us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good afternoon, B-Robb.
What's going on, guys?
Not too much. So were the officials most to blame last night for the Celtics losing this game?
No. The Celtics had a reason to gripe. There's no question about that, particularly in the third quarter, in that, you know, Jalen's fifth foul was just obviously brutal. I think the official knew that immediately once he blew the whistle there. But all things considered, like, it was a one-point game with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And the Bucks went on a 12-0 run with Giannis off the floor. So you can't blame the officiating in that instance for when Giannis isn't even on the floor and you're not getting the free throw line there and you're getting beat up by the likes of George Hill and Pat Connaughton. So, I mean, if you just look at the whole series of in these past three games, they've given up 12-0 runs, 14-2 runs, and then a 15-0 run at times when Giannis hasn't been on the floor. And so, obviously, they got away from game one for a huge second half. But these last two games, you know, this we've seen lapses from this team all year long. And you can't afford it against a team like the Bucks. And you saw it again last night.
Fair and impartial, B-Rob. That's why I love you. I'm happy to hear you say that. Because that's the thing. Like, when Milwaukee pulled away in that third quarter, the ball movement stopped for the Celtics. They're bricking three after three. It's them at their worst. And it looked like a lot of those bad games throughout the regular season. They wilted, just like they did in game two.
Yeah, it's... And it's tough because they played well in a lot of that game. Like, the first half, the ball was moving. Kyrie obviously had the strong first quarter. But he, you know, in the final three quarters of that game, he was 4-15 from the field. And this team needs him to be better than that. And you look down the line, like, you know, Marcus Morris had a strong game on offense. Jason Tatum had a strong game on offense. But those guys had lapses on the defensive end that can't, you know, aren't acceptable. And then, obviously, Gordon Hayward looked like, you know, the bad version of his regular season self, just far too passive for what this team needs right now. So, you know, everyone had their moments at times in that game, but the lapses, again, just pop up at too many times. And, you know, when you're facing the best team in the NBA, you're not gonna be able to get away with those.
B-Rob, one thing that stuck out to me last night, you just look at it, points in the paint, Bucks 52, Celtics 24. What happened with the Celtics in terms of the breakdown? And we know Connaughton did his thing and George Hill did his thing. That can't happen. But it feels like the whole game plan for the Celtics for this series is to prevent Giannis and prevent the Bucks from scoring a bunch of points in the paint. Well, that happened, and those complimentary players went off as well.
Right. Like you can't give up both. Like, it's a great point, Chris, in the sense that, you know, Giannis is going to get his. If you let Giannis get his, you have to shut everyone else down. But when you're giving up 32 points to Giannis and 15 threes and 40% shooting, then you're pretty much giving away everything. And so defensively, I just think that the Celtics, you know, they're not as, I mean, maybe it was the game two that's kind of affected them a little bit in terms of guarding Giannis. They're a little bit more afraid to give help at times. But then on the flip side, when they do go all in, they're not on sharp as recoveries. And the Bucks kind of, you know, Giannis is getting better at predicting when the doubles are going to come. I think the Bucks are putting themselves in better spots to help Giannis, to make the extra pass, to get the open looks. And, I mean, the Bucks are going to score in the paint. I guess the number that sticks out for me that I worry about more, Chris, is the Celtics, the 24 you mentioned. The Celtics scoring 24 points in the paint, that just can't happen. Like, I know the Bucks are tough at the rim, but you're not going to get away with it in the game. And if you're trying to try to play offense first, when you score that few points in the paint. So, you know, Gordon Hayward talked about this a little bit after the game last night. You know, the Celtics are making an extra pass, but they're not being patient enough and swinging the ball the other side of the floor and really getting the Bucks on their heels on the defensive end to make them pay for their switching. And until the Celtics do that and don't settle for, you know, the long jump shots when things start to go bad like they did again the last couple third quarters, until they start doing that and start being more disciplined on that front, it's going to be hard for the Celtics to keep pace in these games, I feel like.
Or they could just have Tony Snell check in for the Bucks and not know what he's doing on defense and run around like a chicken with his head cut off, and then they got three straight threes. So, you know, that's the other thing. Ask Budenholzer to put Tony Snell in there, because then you can move the ball.
Yeah, I mean, his effort there was, you know, embarrassing, I'd say at least. I'll be very curious to see, again, with how well Hill and Connaughton have played. You know, we have the Malcolm Brogdon factor coming in for game four, but I would think at this point, but Coach Bud had a tough decision to make there of him because, you know, Hill, I think, has been like maybe the Bucks' like third best player in this series, period. So taking away any kind of minutes from him at this point, like, will be a tough decision to make. And then Connaughton, too, obviously, has played well in the last two games.
Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. What did you make of Kyrie Irving's performance last night? Because we've been in a bit of a disagreement about it this morning.
I thought it was pretty lackluster after the first quarter, Jim. I mean, he came out strong out of the gate there, I think 13 points in the first quarter. But, I mean, for the final three quarters, he was outplayed by George Hill. And a lot of those plays where Hill got to the basket or Hill had the open transition threes, that starts with, you know, Kyrie wasn't back on those and or was giving up the driving lanes when he got to the rim. And it was just, from a defensive standpoint, we've seen Kyrie engaged at times during this postseason, but he just looked, you know, not disengaged, but not as, you know, zoned in as he needed to be on that end of the floor. Because, again, when the Bucks are going on these huge runs with Giannis out of the game, those are the times the Celtics need to be making headway against the Bucks. They can't afford, you know, Giannis is too good when he's in there to be able to dig yourself 10-point holes when you're off the floor. So, you know, Irving has to kind of zone in a little bit more on the defensive end. He can't let Hill get around him. He can't look to, you know, be switched on to a big whenever, you know, because he's too lazy to go around a screen. And, you know, this is especially when he's shooting 8 of 22 from the field. He can't be giving more away on the defensive end than he's giving the Celtics on offense.
When you look at this game, B-Rob, obviously the officiating was a big part of it. And I know you said you didn't think, you know, that the Celtics can hang their hat on that. But how much of the officiating do you think is a result of reputation? You know, Giannis gets the line. We know that the Celtics during the regular season were 29th in the NBA in free throw attempts per game at 19.5. And frankly, just really didn't play the game with a lot of force or effort to get to the free throw line during the regular season. Is that coming back to haunt them now in terms of the interpretation from the officials?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's no question that, you know, for as long as the NBA playoffs have gone on, like, reputation does, you know, factor into a lot of these calls. And Giannis has built through every, I think he's averaging 10 free throws per game during the regular season. The officials know that. The officials are going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and the Celtics haven't exactly put themselves in great spots in defending him a lot of the time in these last two games. So offensively, you look at guys like Kyrie, I think, who have can get to the line, but to his credit, I think he doesn't you know, sell out for the calls. He doesn't flop. He doesn't, you know, he kind of shies away from contract, and that's honestly can be kind of be to his detriment at times in this series. And but the fact is that when the Bucks have this much firepower from 3-point range, and then Giannis is almost guaranteed to get to the free throw line 10 or 15 times a game, you're not going to be able to. You need, you know, especially at home, you need a friendlier whistle than the Celtics got last night to like survive a lot. Like, they didn't give themselves a chance to win that game based on the third quarter, but, you know, Semi Ojeleye, I think, like, had some decent stops on Giannis that what didn't go his way. You know, Baines obviously has been foul prone all year, and that continued the first two games in this series. And so the Celtics need to at least be given a little more leeway, I think, with Giannis in order to have a chance to come back here, because if he's going to get to the free throw line 16 times a game, with the shooting weapons around him, that's going to be, you know, tough for any team to overcome at this point.
A week from today, are we sitting here lamenting over this lost season? Is it over and now we're worried about Kyrie Irving going to New York, or can they continue this series and actually move on? How does this play out?
I mean, I think the good news is I would agree with Chris, which I think he mentioned earlier in the show. I think the Celtics, you know, they have the more talent here. And if they can play a complete 48-minute game, they have more weapons to kind of counteract what the Bucks are trying to do, especially on the offensive end. They've let the Bucks off the hook a lot here with their switching defense and not punishing bigs like Lopez and Ilyasova. The problem is, you know, we haven't seen that team for the better part of the last 85 games. You know, putting together complete 48-minute efforts for this group has been a challenge. But obviously the sense of urgency, if it's not there now, it's never going to be there. So, you know, I expect them to come back out strong in game four. Kyrie, the response, you know, Al Horford, who only took 8 shots in this game, he needs to be more assertive and take the open shots when they come to him instead of, you know, passing out for a contested three. And, you know, I think, honestly, I think we'll be looking at a game seven at this point next week. I think we're going to see the Celtics come back, hold home court the rest of the way, and then we'll see where the chips fall next week on Monday night.
All right. Let's hope you're right. Brian Robb covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Find him on Twitter at Brian T. Robb. B-Robb, thanks for taking the time, pal.
All right. Thanks for having me, boys.
And Brian Robb comes to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I promise I'll get right to your calls, your thoughts on last night's game as we continue here on the Sports Hub Celtics Co. Our long commercial-free segment comes up next here, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown. Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, Sports Hub.
Reality starting to settle in a little bit here at the Garden as the best team in the NBA is doing what they've done all year. Giannis sets the screen for Bledsoe. Kick out, Connaughton, deep three, got it. What a return home for Pat Connaughton tonight.
He's been huge.
4 threes, 14 points, and Milwaukee leads by 16.
Yeah, local boy done good. How can you not root for him? Arlington's own Pat Connaughton, who I wrongly mocked
in this series. Like, you're relying on Pat Connaughton getting, what, 33 minutes in game two? Like, ugh. That's why I didn't really believe in this Bucks team and why I thought the Celtics would, you know, end up winning their two at home and be up 3-1 when they go back to Milwaukee. 14 points for him last night. Good game. Nice
and
little story.
Nice defensive plays, too.
Yeah.
If you do want to mock him for real, though, watch his first pitch at a Milwaukee Brewers
game. Oh, I saw it. Yeah, they flashed to it last night. Yeah. And that was a guy who was a pitching prospect for the Orioles.
Yeah, yes. I think he tried to get cute and throw, like, a curveball or something, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah,
that's the worst first pitch I've seen since 50 Cent.
I can't mock. There's a lot. There's infinite terrible first pitches thrown out from Baba Booey of the Howard Stern Show.
Oh,
that's a famous one.
That one.
He did it for the Mets. 50 Cent is terrible.
Yeah, that was really bad.
I think Billy Joel has a bad one. I myself have had a bad one too.
You've thrown out a first pitch?
I've never told you this story.
No.
I actually usurped a United States president when I did this as well.
What?
Back when the Portland Sea Dogs were the affiliate of the Marlins before they were the Red Sox in 03. They have, for whatever reason, we had WFNX at the time had some like shady affiliation with a station up there. So we had like a 90, it was 92.1 FNX. And for whatever reason, we ran their sports programming overnight. I don't know. But we would run these stupid Sea Dogs games. So me, as the quote unquote sports guy on different permutations of morning shows, I was asked to go up one day and like sit in and do a little color for the, one of their useless games and throw out the first pitch. Well, I go up there and unbeknownst to me and really the team at the time, because the Bushes live not too far in Kennebunkport, they show up that day It was Bush 1, not W. So yeah. George H.W. And he's there with Secret Service. And the girl who had set this up that worked for their media department, or whatever, and was like, listen, George Bush is here. You're still going to... This is why I get confused, because I'm an idiot. She goes to me, how can I not get confused when the woman says this to me? You're still going to throw out the first pitch, but President Bush is going to throw out the first pitch too. Huh? And I'm like, what? Huh? How does that make any sense? And I'm already confused.
Is it like a relay?
And nervous. Yeah. So, you know, because I'm throwing out a first pitch, you want to actually, you know, throw it into the strike zone, not look like a complete fool, like, you know, how anyone else, Pat Connaughton, has done before. And so what she tried, it's then explained was, he's going to go before you, so there's going to be two first pitches. The whole thing gets confused. So what ends up happening is, long story short, the PA guy starts to talk, and throwing out the ceremonial first pitch is, I start walking. It was supposed to be President Bush because they're on a timeline. They had to like get him up and get him away from the people so he's not bothered. And as soon as I heard the PA guy start talking and throwing out the first ceremonial pitch tonight, I start walking. I cross the first baseline and it's too late. I'm already halfway out there. So I usurped a U.S. president. I threw out the first
that
pitch.
That is an amazing story. Wow.
And I did not throw a strike.
You didn't?
So, yeah.
You reached the plate though, right?
I did, yeah, but it was, you know, just a bit outside.
That's all right. That's all that counts, man. You reach the plate. That's good.
Yep, and then he signed my baseball, and since he has passed, do you think I still have that baseball? I do not, because I was a sore baby during his son's reign.
Oh, no. You did what?
Sold it on eBay. Like, oh, the Bushes, yeah, not my president, man.
Oh,
I sold
God.
It for like $100 on eBay, so I have the story,
man.
But not the ball.
You should still have the ball.
I am a stupid idiot.
Ugh.
And there's that story. But either way, Pat Connaughton goes off for the Bucks last night and helps contribute to the Bucks' win over the Celtics. So, again, my bigger question here for you, the Celtics fan this morning, is this the same gutless Celtics team we've seen all season? Because that's what that looked like last night. Or are they still talented enough to hold serve, make this a series, and win in seven games, like Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, believes? 617-779-0985. Let's go to Nick and Quincy. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, Nick.
Hi. That guy, Brian, boy, I thought he hit really all the marks there. You know, I think that there were probably 8 to 10 things I wanted to talk about here because they did do so many things wrong. But with respect to Hayward, way too passive, first of all. But when he has the ball at the point, I'm a lot more encouraged than when Irving has the ball at the point. The offense comes to an absolute standstill when Irving's dribbling the ball for, you know, 15 seconds out of a 24-second shot clock. And you know, I think that it's only so sustainable for them to keep up with the Bucks. At, you know, when he's you know, holding onto the ball for 3/4 of a possession, I think at least with Hayward, you get some movement in the offense. I just wish he'd take a shot when he gets into the paint. But you know, the defense. Just one more thing before I go. The defense. The only way I could characterize it was weird. It was almost as if they were nervous about Giannis shooting threes and caught off guard when he passed the ball to Hill on the outside. You know, they were not ready for Hill shooting a three, and he'd blow by him every time. It was like a total lack of urgency.
Thanks for the call, Nick.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it kind of makes sense. I hadn't really thought about that till he meant that in terms of what he was talking about defensively.
Yeah, defensively, it was weird. Like, there was a play that in the game that we watched while we were here in the studio, where you can, and I remember watching it last night, where Horford goes out and as a hard close on a Giannis 3-point attempt, and Giannis just goes right by him and gets to the rim. And it's like, well, I thought the plan was to make him take that shot, you know? So it was sort of odd at times. I think the Celtics got a little bit scrambly on defense and opened up some lanes. I also thought the Bucks got out in transition and were able to sort of attack the Celtics before they could really set up their defense at times.
617-779-0985. Got a couple open lines. You want to join us, talk about last night's Celtics loss. Do you think it's now over? Do you feel like you get egg on your face like I do this morning for, you know, me, Felger, last Monday sitting there, and, oh, with Paul Pierce, the series is over. Bucks aren't ready for this moment. felt like it was too big for Giannis. Yeah, it doesn't feel great right now. When you made that prediction and how it looks for the Celtics. But let's hear from you on last night's loss. 617-779-0985. We're going to pause here, get the Sports Hub headlines from Sean Silver, and then right to you here on Gasper Murray 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.